The job's not that difficult. I just want you to meet some people and find out whatever you can about them.
What type of people?
Dangerous, dirty, tattooed, uncivilized. Your kind of people.
I'm coming in hot with a side of bacon. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 185. My name is Scott Johnson, and I'm joined tonight by Brian Scare in this one. Patch, what? Oh, Scar in this one. Patch in the Avengers, still no change Dunaway.
What? What? This ain't no fancy secret agent party like usual. It's a German rave with special guest band Rammstein. No martinis, and I may be overdressed. Oh, I've been shot. Oh, great. Now I'm crowd surfing. What else could I? Oh, I should have never deviated from set parameters. Damn you, suit. Why didn't I listen to my wife and wear my Gucci beaver pelt?
Wow. That one just was awesome. Also with us, Randy. I was Tony Hawk. What? Oh, I wish Tony Hawk was my vigilante team leader as well. Wait, 2 hours and 15 minutes? Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian, Brian. This week on Film Sack, we base jump from a speeding Corvette. We motorcycle jump over an exploding barn. We encounter lots of dudes and one woman. We argue with dudes. We turn on dudes. We fight with dudes. We double cross dudes. And then we fight with more dudes. You know where I'm going with this. Just like Ibbot's house on a Saturday night.
Still recovering.
It's true.
Brian, how many times can you show me that neck tattoo anyway, Ibbot?
Let me tell you story of my village. We're poor farmers who save up all year to send Yuri to other village to buy 3 carts of potatoes. These 3 carts of potatoes able to feed my village for a year. Then other day, Bald Putz and GTO decide to blow up 1 cart of potatoes. This year, all women and children in my village will die. Thank you, Bald Snowboard Spy.
I almost had something about French fries in that same idea.
Yeah. Pretty good. Yeah, I noticed those French fries in the middle of that Prague cafe. I guess they're into them over there. Nicely done. The movie is Triple X, and we're here to talk about Triple X, directed by Rob Cohen. You may know him from spawning the Fast and Furious series. Although I don't think he's returned to direct it.
No, wait, this wasn't Fast and the Furious?
No, this was not. Although, how many of you here around the Film Sack table thought that this movie came out before or after the first Fast and the Furious movie?
It was before, right? It was the first one.
All of us think that it came out before or after.
Right.
The first and the great thing is that never occurred to me. Any of it. That movie,
no.
Fast and Furious never crossed my mind watching this movie.
Really?
Because they're back to back.
I think about Vin Diesel with his old school car. I mean, come on.
Yeah. No, to me, they felt similar, but I used to think this movie came first, and I was wrong. It was Fast and Furious that came first. It was just the year prior, and it was the same director, bam, bam, two in a row.
Well, I think, you know what? I think the reason why I got confused is I saw this at the theater, and I saw Fast and the Furious on DVD. So I think I actually did see it in order of Triple X, then Fast and the Furious.
Okay. Well, you did it right then.
Right. How did this relate to Gone in 60 Seconds?
60 Seconds has to predate this movie. It has
you didn't
to.
Catch the Nicolas Cage?
Wasn't there a car in it that was just like his car?
I think so, actually. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that...
No, well, no.
Wasn't there a GTO?
I'm gonna say,
no, Nick Cage's car in Gone in 60 Mustang. Seconds that he wanted so much, yeah, was that... That Mustang.
But, Mustang? I swear it was a GTO.
It was a silver Mustang.
But there were multiple GTOs in Gone in 60 Seconds, along with pretty much every other muscle car ever made.
Yeah.
Right.
Whereas in this movie, for whatever reason, and I'm jumping way ahead of us, When he tricks the bad guys into giving him a bunch of cars, for some reason they decide, oh, and we're going to give you this piece of crap along with them, right, and you're going to want to drive that. And like, I don't like they just kind of do some hand waving and say, oh, it goes real fast. No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No.
Yeah. That old goat was beautiful and it got loaded up with rockets and stuff, sure, but it ain't a fast, high. But
you could hear it. You could hear a loud, audible gulping noise as it drank the gas you put in it.
It wasn't hard to find in Berlin because it's sought after.
Right.
Well,
no, but the thing that bugged me was that at the time this movie was made, 2002, I would estimate that you could have gotten that exact car for about $30,000.
Probably.
Maybe. Right.
And
right.
every other car in the barn next to it was like 60, 80,000. There were a couple of over six-figure cars in there, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It was just
they only got 10, and I'm thinking he could just went to a dealership and got that deal.
right.
Yeah.
Czechoslovakian Craigslist.
You talked me down to 1.2 million. I'm thinking, "Oh wow."
Yeah.
They're going to come because there's going to be stolen cars, right?
Like yeah. Right.
They're going to be amazing stolen cars. I was expecting McLarens and so on. No,
just average stuff. And there, we have listeners at home right now going, cars, Vin Diesel, what? And I would, Scott Fletcher has a way to explain it. Here it is.
Triple X, Xander XXX Cage, a notorious underground rush seeker deemed untouchable by the law, is coerced by NSA agent Augustus Eugene Gibbons to cooperate with the government and infiltrate a Russian crime ring.
There you go. I thought they were less Russian and more just kind of generalized Eastern blocky. I know the main guy was supposed to be Russian.
Yeah. A lot of it takes place in Prague and
sure. Right. Now, the main guy, you may recognize his face immediately as one of the big elf dudes in the original Lord of the Rings feature. He's the one that brought all his elf buddies to die, although it didn't happen in the books, it happened in the movie during the final bit of the second film, Two Towers. So he shows up with his big long face going, hello, and everyone died. So that's why that guy's familiar.
You recognize the other guy as Mace Windu.
Wait. Samuel L. Jackson's in this movie? Wait, what? Nice. Oh, wait, he had hair, so I got confused.
Yeah, looked more like Mr. Glass.
Mr. Glass.
Yeah.
Every time we're near a set of stairs, I'm like, don't go down those stairs. I'll go down those stairs, buddy. You're gonna fall and break. Anyway, it's a movie. It's a thing that came out. I saw it in the theater as well, and at the time I thought, oh, this is cool. This is kind of a hard edge X Games kind of approach to the James Bond thing. We don't really have our own over here, so let's do something cool here. And I remember at the time thinking, that was all right. But now, after seeing it again, even that doesn't hold up as well for me. I think it's kind of a bad movie.
The whole thing doesn't hold up. I'm surprised at how different it is for me now than it was 11 years ago.
Yeah,
it's a totally different movie than it was. But I wouldn't say it doesn't necessarily not hold up. I just think it's the things that used to excite us.
You have to go through the exercise of keeping the film in its proper place while you're watching it.
Well, this is the height of Jackass. This is the height of, X Games and stuff.
Yeah, that's like, the first thing I thought of is the, you know, luge and snowboard. And
Right.
Yeah. When he walks into his fantasy house that no one really has ever, and everyone's throwing a party for him, and you got Tony Hawk in there, you got, I forget that guy who rides bikes a lot. Anyway, he's famous for, used to have a...
Sean White?
Sean White's a snowboard guy. I can't think of who...
Todd BMX.
Somebody like that. Larry Vaughn BMX. He even had a video game.
Josh Todd.
No, different dude. Anyway, he's there. None of them can act, but I could see them just playing, you know, trading on this currency of it's 2002 and we're really into extreme sports now. And what a cool way to find your next hot agent man. Than to dig around in that place, which really, if you want the truth of that, some of those guys did really well for themselves and some good entrepreneurs like Tony Hawk and others, but they're not good source material for spy and espionage work for the NSA. They're all a bunch of kind of brain dead high school dropout. Hey, how much pot do you have guys?
Hey,
you're going to defend that demographic, Brian?
Hey, no, it's like going, hey, hey.
Hey.
Give me some of your
to make
weed.
You think that she said something wrong.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, likes to walk in a room sometimes. Just go, hey, hey, hey. Yeah.
Plus names like Xander Cage and
yeah.
Oh, that was a horrible name. Xander Cage.
Yeah.
I apologize to anyone whose parents named them Xander during the early 2000s, but come on.
I know a couple.
Yeah. A lot of Buffy.
Yeah,
fans
I do
out
too.
There.
Yeah. Right. I do too. So I'm not gonna complain about the name so much as the entire thrust of the film, which is we want this to be a series of movies. Triple X is the new James
Bond.
And
it was. Yeah.
Well, no, it wasn't.
How many did they do?
Two. They only did one other one, and that was the Ice Cube one. So they didn't really get to keep like the whole family together. The director, creator, and writer all left. Vin Diesel left, so you were left with Ice Cube. Scarface over there, Samuel L. Jackson, and that's it. And you started over. Now, that being said, I still think the second one's a cooler movie. I like it better.
I think it went better with the Fast and the Furious. That's been the franchise that spawned from this same time period. One of them had to make it, and one of them didn't.
Right. Well, it's the only one.
But I also, if you go back and watch the first Fast and the Furious and then compare that to the latest one, those are not the same movies anymore. Those are very different now.
That's like saying comparing the first James Bond to, Daniel Craig.
It's a good point. Yeah, it's a good point. Taste change and all that. But the fact that that series survives is mostly on its decision to embrace the ridiculousness of it and not try to take it seriously. And that's a good thing. I think Triple X had probably the legs to do it. It made enough money. It made a ton of money.
It was
hugely profitable and it was a big hit worldwide. But they, for whatever reason, decided not to make it a bigger deal.
I think it's weird. Like, didn't he know while making the movie that was the point? Like, there were going to be more.
Who's that? Vin Diesel, you mean?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Because that's ultimately what it comes down to. If you have this one leading man going, all right, when are we going to get together for the next one? You know, the next one happens.
Vin Diesel calling you every day. Hey, I just want to know. Hey, what's going
on? Are we going to do the next one? I was in Shaving Ryan's privates. Come on.
When are we going to do another one?
I'm sitting around in my Beaver Pelt jacket. I'm just curious when we're going to do the next one.
That jacket. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's pretty pimp, dude. It's pretty pimp.
That was the character.
How many Real Housewives of Orlando had to die for him to have that jacket?
Every day of my life that it's below 60 degrees Fahrenheit, I would wear that jacket if I had it.
Exactly.
Yeah, that thing is a beast. Yeah. It looked like it smelled funny to me, but whatever. Yeah. I always think
I'm sure if it didn't before he started wearing it, I'm sure it did after.
Well, trivially speaking, there's a few interesting bits about this movie. Vin Diesel performed many of his own stunts. He's kind of known for that. However, according to the DVD commentary, Vin was sick as a dog for the Corvette base jump. So pro Tim Rigby performed the stunt, and he wore a Vin Diesel mask.
From the local Spencer Gifts.
Yep. It's like
I did not know that.
Michael Myers jumping off of there with that thing. Right. I tried to look for it, and to its credit, this movie's got some pretty good stunts in it.
Yeah,
right.
Like all that stuff in the cocaine fields, I thought was pretty good.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, the drop kick to the face doing the Superman, that was pretty good.
Your very brief Danny Trejo moment in the movie.
There were some stunts that were just amazing in this movie. Mm-hmm. Like that base jump off the Corvette was for real. And even now, just a decade later, you might not do it. You might not have that a stunt. You might just fake it.
You definitely would computer generate it now. I mean,
yeah. And there were some pretty bad computer generated things in this movie, but like the stunts, oh my gosh, there were some really good ones.
The avalanche scene tripped the line between awesome and very bad CGI. So it would kind of, for one second, you're going, oh my gosh, that looks really good. And then it would switch and I go, no, you're like blue screening the hell out of it now. It looks really bad.
And you just trip right over the first trope.
Oh, did I?
Trope tripper. Yeah.
Hold on, let me trip.
Maybe. Trope tripper.
Let me trip a trope.
My scrote.
There you go.
Yeah, anytime you see a mountaintop, white mountaintop, you know there's going to be an avalanche.
Guaranteed. If you interact with the mountain, it's going to snow all over you. Yeah.
It's going to be avalanche or kinky sex, one of the two.
Or both. And no matter what, you'll destroy every structure possible except for that flimsy thing that Vin Diesel was holding on to.
Right.
That was pretty lucky.
You go through a concrete building. But having a little trouble with the thin iron rigging.
Yeah, that was a little bit of trouble for whatever reason.
Yeah.
This is an interesting note here. Speaking of stunts, stunt player Harry O'Connor was actually killed when he hit a pillar of the Palaki Bridge in Prague in that scene. He was parasailing during one of the action scenes. The accident occurred while filming the second take of the stunt. Ironically, or sadly, his first attempt was the one that was completed and put into the film. So that's why you didn't see it. I mean, obviously, they're not going to show the one where he died. Yeah. But it sucks you did a second take when the first take was just fine.
Right.
Dumb.
I totally get that, though. Like, there's just no way when you're doing these kinds of complicated things that you just go with one take and go, oh, we got it.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true. Yeah. It's expensive. You want to get as much footage as you can. I totally get it. But I didn't know about that. Like, usually that makes either. Big news. Like, what was it? On the set, the John Landis
Twilight
deal.
Twilight Zone. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a huge bit of news. Mm-hmm. Everybody was talking about it. And
thought at least it would have seen it in one of my zines from 2002.
One of your zines. Were you getting zines like Filmation and
Fangoria
and stuff? Mm-hmm. Were you all into that?
Okay. Of course, I mean, it was 2002. I mean, I like Xander Kelly wasn't even filming with his iPhone 5. He had his stupid VHS cameras.
I kept wishing that this thing would have, like, I don't know, cool helmet cams and stuff. And I went, no, they're doing that now. What am I talking about?
2002. They do it GoPros and stuff.
Yeah, we weren't there yet.
No, they have little Sony cams mounted in metal cages that they have to retrieve from the destroyed Corvette at the bottom of the bridge.
Right.
And then upload through ISDN lines. I mean, it took forever.
Dude, they were lucky if that was ISDN at that point. Yeah.
And it's just, I love that very first scene where all these cops are on a bridge and these guys are 1,000 feet below them getting their stuff and driving away really fast. And I'm like, okay, so now the helicopter comes and gets you? Like,
That was it. They were like, really? No, that's it. This is Orange County. We don't need to send any more people after this or wherever they live.
But then, they just waited for him to go to his after party, right?
Right.
Well, that's kind of how you did it, because when they arrested people who base jumped, they would sometimes get them at the bottom of the base jump, or they would lots of times. It didn't really seem like there was a big chase usually put in involved with this kind of thing. So you usually knew who the idiot was.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I have a chick in the bucket. It was it was the girl who was running his quote unquote business back at home. She was all up in his face, acting like she had a big role to play. She was going to go further into the story.
From other women.
Yep. Yeah. And then boom, out. She's done.
Well, literally forgot all about her after she said that she had the underground website.
Yep.
That was
definition of a chick in the bucket, right?
Yeah, totally.
She just disappeared, and underground website. What the hell, dude? What the hell is that?
Does
she
mean website?
They just have like a password? Is that what you mean?
I don't know. Nobody went to it. I have an underground underground website too. Nobody goes to it,
right? Because it's underground,
totally underground.
Yeah, right. Real stupid. Martin.
I don't use any search engine optimization. Nobody can find this thing.
How do you say this guy's name that played the bad dude? Martin Cas. It's Sokas.
That's the guy that was Celeborn in the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, Celeborn.
Yeah, I don't think you don't pronounce one of those. You don't pronounce the C and the S. I think you just go Sokas.
Sokas. So he's probably Eastern.
If it's Hungarian, you do Sokas. If it's a CS. Or no, SZ is Sh.
And of course, he's from New Zealand. So all bets
are off. Really? He's Kazakas.
He looks Eastern European. I bought that.
Hey, Martin Kazakas here.
Yeah. Hello. He's kind of a penis in everything he's in.
Oh, wow.
I hope
except
so.
Except for Lord of the Rings.
Like, you meant exposed.
Yeah. No, he's just always kind of a jerk. And I think he's one of those actors that he's got a look about him that if you need have a part for an ethereal, strange looking, mysterious elf, then fine. Otherwise, he's going to be your dick.
He played a good bad guy here.
Yeah, it was all right.
He did.
He had plenty of screen presence for this movie.
I feel like the accent was a little over the top, just a little bit.
Yeah, the accent was ridiculous. It's another thing, one of those things I don't remember at all having a problem with 11 years ago.
Yeah, it didn't seem to be a big deal. I don't have a problem with his brother, the smoking brother. Was it supposed to be his brother? No, I can't remember.
Smoking brother, I got that confused.
Whatever.
I was thinking you were saying he was hot.
He was smoking, man.
Werner Don.
That guy's great. That guy's great to look at. He's just got a Weasley face and just looks like he wants to. He has no remorse for anything. He's got no conscience. He's great.
Yeah.
So I remember liking that then, and I like that now. That stuff was fine. A piece of me still longs for the day when Rammstein can be on stage,
right?
And there's some upper room that's all mysterious and blue, and they're drinking strange Vulcan looking drinks. And there's something about that that is totally '90s, late '90s, early 2000s that doesn't really get done as much today. But I still like that.
Maybe. There's a great trope at the very beginning here.
Hold on. I'm going to play that trope alert that we do. Hold on. There you go.
It's the kill off the old trope. to start your movie. Right. You kill off the old. Yeah. So they have the gentleman spy come in, and he's not at all prepared for the way the world is now.
Yeah.
Right. And so it just, they literally kill the character right there. And then now we're gonna proceed with our story. Yeah, I love that. I've been
straight up.
Yeah. He was only double X.
Double X.
wasn't even an X though. He was, a double O.
Yeah. Yeah? Well, right. I know they went out of their way to, in some ways, to avoid the trappings of 007 style storytelling and kind of trying to separate this and say, here's this hardcore edgy thing. But toward the end of the movie, they just embraced it. The music turned into it. It started going, what are you doing?
The introduction of the weapons.
Yes. And the final credits with the big 3D guns that pop out, and there's little slow motion bullets flying. I mean, they were basically doing an intro, but just doing it backwards. It was a total ripoff toward the end.
Oh, absolutely.
And he's making out with a chick and ignoring Q or whoever the hell's trying to get a hold of him. And it's like, come on, guys.
The Q guy in this movie was two letters, right? He was TJ.
Yeah.
Right?
And he was terrible. Like,
it's horrible.
Is that what TJ stood for? Terrible Jones.
Terrible Jones, yeah. The guy that blew up the box in the lab, which of course you would do. That was all. I mean, everything about the movie was like, okay, here's our nod to 007. Here's the second girl. Like, here's the first girl. And then here's the second one. And the second one turns out as a double agent. Right, I didn't see that coming. Mm.
Right.
Yeah, and it takes him so long to figure it out when she's there taking pictures of the, she's sneaking in there too.
Yeah.
Oh, you taking pictures?
Yeah. It's so weird because he's super smart in some things, and then other things he's like,
he notices the fat legs on heels of the lady at the restaurant, but he doesn't notice she's
super smart.
Yeah.
but then he repeatedly all throughout this movie, he said, well, I've only been an agent for 2 days, like over and over.
Right.
Man, I got tired of hearing how long he's been a secret agent. Like, your life is on the line. Stop thinking about that.
By the way,
no, because he was still walking around singing secret agent, because that's what I would do if I was a secret agent. So
I wouldn't have been shocked if suddenly Goldfinger played at the end of the movie. Is all I'm getting at.
Goldfinger.
So I noticed that the movie is 2 hours and 15 minutes long. I noticed that about
an hour
long
and a half
as hell. And I noticed that when I went to the theater, it was not that long. So I did some digging around. Apparently, we have seen the director's cut of XXX, which features new artwork. I don't know what that means.
Tattoos,
deleted scenes. Tattoos. Previously not seen, and some of these include additional scenes that foreshadowed, I guess, him as a hero. I don't know what that means either, but this part I do understand. It also features a much longer stripper in the bedroom sequence. This definitely had a much longer stripper in the bedroom sequence.
It had a too long stripper in the bedroom sequence, if you ask me.
I agree. At some point I went, all right, I think I just saw part of her bumhole. So
whereas, you know what wasn't long enough in this movie?
Mm.
Machete with a machete.
Yeah, no kidding.
It didn't even occur to me. He had a machete with it.
Yeah.
How did they not clean that off, or
it gets really crusty? Yeah.
How did they not have more footage for that scene?
Yeah. Right.
Because it was so great. He's serious, and Vin Diesel isn't taking it seriously at all.
Yeah.
I could have watched that scene for 2 hours.
I like that. Yeah.
We blew our budget on Rammstein. We didn't have enough for Danny Trejo.
Those guys. So the naked ladies, I don't remember them in the theater either.
The pile of naked ladies.
That's what you do when you're done with them. You just leave them in a pile.
Yeah, leave them in a big pile.
Done with them.
Walk away. One
of them was sleeping in a position that you don't sleep. No one sleeps.
I don't think anyone were sleeping in positions that anyone sleeps in.
I think they'll all wake up with a hitch in their neck or something.
Exactly. And all sticky to each other going. Not be good.
So I don't know if it was unrated or not, but I do not remember that in the PG-13 business I saw in 2002 in the theater.
PG-13?
It was at the time.
Yeah, it was originally released. Well,
yeah. So I don't know if the director's cut is one of those NRs or something, but let's see. It'll tell me right here. PG-13 for violence, nonstop action, sensuality, drug content.
PG-13 for nonstop action. How is that a rating that they, I mean, sure, the producers probably said that'd be a great thing to put on there, but why does the rating board say a nonstop action?
I don't see anything about the director's cut being a different rating, but who knows?
It needs to be.
Maybe. I just thought you couldn't put a boob in your PG-13. I thought that was out.
It's only 8 minutes longer, but it felt like the first thing I said after watching it was, wow, that was 4 hours. I'm never getting back.
Right?
Yep.
Just
It was crazy. Long, dude. It was long. It was like direct. It was like the extended edition Two Towers Peter Jackson treatment is what this felt like to me. Which I know you like a lot, Randy, and I hate.
Yes, I do. I love it.
I think that one's the worst.
Now, Lord of the Rings, I could keep on bringing that. I could sit down for a whole day for that. But yeah, this, mm-hmm. I mean, nonstop action for
too long.
2 hours and 15 minutes.
I kind of checked out toward the end because that action just became mindless and loud. And
I
feel like I'm immune to that now.
You know? And I just felt totally stupid watching that land speeder with the thing on it going through the canals and stuff.
I can pinpoint the moment I checked out of this movie. It was when they finally discovered what was really going on, which is crazy bombs, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And they didn't just destroy the building. Like Vin Diesel and the chick should have just gone, oh, let's go get some grenades. Let's throw them all in there with it. Let's bring this thing down.
It's not like it would have killed a bunch of innocent scientists either, because that guy had already done away with them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And instead, they're trying to figure out how to stop the plot. No. At this point, you don't care about the plot anymore. You just blow up the problem, right?
I don't think the director cared about the plot either. Now, I didn't. Another thing that was way too entirely long. Vin Diesel got on the little land speeder thing that was had the missiles on it.
Right, Ahab.
And I walked away to pee. I came back. He's still staring at the same stupid missiles. And I'm like, those things haven't shot off yet. And he's still just looking at them, thinking about it. I don't know what I should do.
You went to pee during the climax of the movie and you didn't pause it?
Well, it had already been 2 hours and I'd already thought, I wait and think, well, surely it's going to end now. And then you go to the bathroom, you come back and like, crap, it ended. What happened?
And it doesn't help that yellow liquid is jostling around in the in the tubes on the missiles.
Exactly. Made you have to pee real bad.
So when you saw the liquid of death, of doom, did you think of Reanimator?
A little bit, yeah.
That was my big thought. It was like, oh, wow. So not only are they going to kill everybody in Prague, but they're going to bring them back to life.
Yeah. They had that in that Carpenter movie with that weird zombie one.
Yeah, I was thinking more about, the fact that, all right, you fired it into the ocean. Now you've polluted the water.
Yeah.
Right.
That's all I could think of. And I understood. See, they explained it earlier. They said, so Vladimir Voris or whatever his name was, he says, the beauty of this thing is once it dissipates, or does its thing, it turns back into harmless water or whatever.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think they were counting on us to remember. Oh, he talked about that so that it didn't seem like a big deal when it went in the water, and that was the only way to disperse it without killing a bunch of people. Right. I think that was what they were doing.
Except for the nice young couple that were scuba diving that day.
Yeah. They'd finally gotten to Prague after all these years, saved all their money.
Right.
They're down there. Although, I don't know, a river in Prague does not look like a place I'd want to put a snorkel on.
That's true.
I mean, nothing against Prague, but my stereotypes.
Yeah, in case you're from Prague, please don't write us any. Is anybody in Prague listening?
Yeah, do we have any listeners in Prague? That'd be great.
Love that.
I just feel like that's a place for these weird dance clubs and then dark alleys where people get stabbed in the neck and stuff.
That's where they listen to Prague rock.
Yeah, Prague rock. Exactly.
Hey, did you guys have any problem with the Vin Diesel's revolver?
I had about 10 problems with it. Why?
Right, the revolver of mystery where he would. I mean, okay, look. Right, I think it was a problem in post after editing because every time he would adjust the bullet, he would spin it.
Yeah.
Or you would think he was spinning it because it had that sound, that sound.
Yeah.
And so of course,
I want the explosive one. Clamp.
Yes.
Click. And then
it's like, what did you just do, dude? Yeah. You just defeated the purpose of lining up the explosive one and then going.
Yeah. That was pretty weird. But also, I just don't think a gun like a straight up six shooter is the way to go. Even if you've got fancy bullets in there.
Right.
You've now created a new problem. You've got to open it and look and then line up your thing and all that. What good is that gun? You need something with a clip that holds cartridge. Like 30 rounds in it or something.
Right. You've got your blue cartridge for your explosives, your green cartridge for your poisons, your...
But I'm colorblind, Vin Diesel would say.
We've got bullets that look like blood when they explode. Good, you're probably going to need this because I don't know why. You're going into a dangerous situation. Surely you might shoot somebody you like.
Yeah, and does it not shoot fast enough that thing is going to puncture right through their skin anyway?
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. That was a really weird design, the whole thing. Yeah, I get that they were... get that I'm supposed to suspend disbelief and just go, all right, they're shooting Vin Diesel over and over with the knockout drug. All right, no problem. Right.
I mean, it's the phaser set on stun. I like the concept, but it was just kind of weird.
But it was also a big plasticky silver looking like Star Trek rifle gun. Right. You know, whenever they whip out those rifles on Star Trek, my eyes roll so far the back of my head they actually come up the other way and I'm back to normal again.
And you had a ton of stormtrooper shooting going on.
Yes. That was nobody could hit anything.
No.
No, those helicopters need to seriously have their miniguns examined.
Do you think in 2002 people were still saying things like peace out a lot?
Like, absolutely.
Peace out. Is that a thing they say now?
Movie,
they
was
say
like,
now?
Peace out.
No one says peace out anymore, right?
That's not No.
Just ironically.
Do they? Ryan Seacrest probably says it.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Seacrest out.
He's carrying Seacrest the torch out. On that. Great. Yeah. That's great. I think the movie could have used Aaron Paul in it.
It felt like it had it, didn't it?
It did.
Right?
Yeah. It did. A couple of times, especially in his house thing where those guys are skateboarding on the walls. I went, oh, my gosh, Aaron Paul should be here calling everyone a bitch.
Exactly.
Right. I'd be into that. That'd be all right.
What's up, yo?
But the thing is, I kind of, and this is where it all falls apart for me or I feel sadder about it than I should. I feel like this is a cool concept.
Uh-huh.
I just feel like it was pandering to, how do I put this? Guys don't run around
next
yelling,
generation?
Peace out, yo. And then falling out of the back of a thing. Yelling, I'd live for this shit is maybe the best line in the movie where he falls out of the back of that plane and gets
parachute out.
Yeah. Like that kind of stuff, I guess I'm okay with. But on the whole, it didn't feel real. Like they weren't really, really that much of a bunch of street thugs. And I didn't buy that.
They were thrill seekers.
I guess, but they didn't, they still didn't come off as real to me. So this idea of saying, let's turn the James Bond thing on its head and do something totally different. I feel like that's a thing I could sign up for every time someone tells me that. That's I'm buying that bill of goods. But I don't feel like they did it here. Like it just didn't. It fell flat. The critics at the time did not like it.
Now, okay, you say it fell flat. You say that looking at it now. Did you think it fell flat back when you saw it at the theater?
No, yes, I did. I was disappointed then. I wasn't as disappointed. Yeah, I remember being. I remember walking out with Kim, going, "That was all right, I guess." I mean, that was. Right. I guess I had fun moments, and you're in a big screen. It's loud, and there were some cool stunts, and the music's. You know, at the time, I thought "Let the Bodies Hit the Floor" would never get old.
Right, yeah. Not the film sack brought to you by Drowning Pool.
Second straight film sack with that song in it.
Yeah.
Almost used as much as Filter's song. What is that one?
Hey Man, Nice Shot.
Hey, yeah, Hey Man.
Yeah,
nice
that
shot.
One. Or Blur's
Woohoo!
That one gets played a lot. Yeah.
I want to see a movie that has all three of those in it.
I'll bet there is.
Oh,
one.
It would be two. It would be called Extreme.
What would you call that?
Too hot, too extreme.
Too extreme.
Too hot, too extreme.
We're not even coming out in theaters. You can't handle it.
That's right. Exactly.
You're watching our underground website.
So you got to wonder, though, why the series stopped. I don't think the second one did very well.
No, it didn't. And I think a lot of people were like Scott. They were disappointed afterwards. They were like, it was like, it was good adrenaline ride, but it didn't really deliver on what it promised, which was that this whole new generation of action adventure that just didn't happen.
Does it also give you guys diarrhea when you hear people use this term mil for short for millions? Like when somebody says
1.2 mil.
Yeah, 1.2 mil. I just want to kick people so hard when I hear that.
That didn't bother me so bad.
I hate short and stuff like that. I hate it.
So speaking of the sequel, though.
You're going to hate Thanksgiving.
It's going to be the worst. I would hate that.
According to realbollywood.com, actor Vin Diesel, who earlier refused to be part of the XXX sequel, gave a nod to the film after working on Riddick. The 46-year-old confessed that it's because of Riddick that he became confident to take forward another XXX franchise, which will make its comeback after almost a decade.
Yeah,
nice.
The new one is tentatively titled, hold on, it's XXX.
Oh, really? We've even got a, they've got a.
Yeah, I looked it up. Here it is. XXX, The Return of Xander Cage is the current title.
And I bet you it ends up actually being pretty good.
There's no director assigned yet. They've got Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel doesn't need a director. He just needs a pimp coat.
Well, this is what it says. Xander Cage is left for dead after an incident, though he's secretly returning for action as a new tough assignment with his handler Augustus Gibbons. But they don't say anything about Nick Fury in there or not.
You know what I hope? They hope they make a whole bunch of old man jokes, and then they have like some really young actor come in.
Oh God,
that'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
Vin Diesel, how's he? I don't know what he looks like right now. I haven't seen him in much lately.
He looks the same.
I guess I saw him in Fast Five. Does he look the same?
Looks the same.
All right. He's still big and beefy. And
yeah.
Oh, that new Riddick. He looked good in the Riddick thing.
He did, yeah.
Stuff I saw. I like that.
I like, so I'm getting a little bit higher every time I talk about it.
What's going on with that?
Yeah, just, I can't wait.
That's really weird that you're doing that. I also like the old idea that, in fact, the guy said it. Didn't he say, now that business is finished, we party.
Right,
like bad guys who have a weakness for partying.
Right. And then my least favorite / favorite / what the WTF line in the movie is when at the end of that scene, the henchman walks over to this door behind which there are a bunch of female dancers.
Oh yeah.
And yells out, "Bitches come."
That is my favorite. That was
that
so
guy,
wrong.
I couldn't find out what actor that guy is. I'm dying to know what else that dude does.
Who the hell looked at the script and was like, you know, we need this guy to just yell out, "Bitches come." That's gonna fix the whole movie.
Yeah. I don't think those are scripted at all. I hope not.
I think that was all improv.
Because it was in a dance club, so that, you know, like they had to either have the sound off completely and this guy yelling with mics over his head, or they had to go do ADR, you know, like after the fact. They've got that actor in the studio standing in front of a mic with the headphones on going, "Bitches come," over and over.
Why not? He wasn't facing us. He was turned away. He could have said anything.
That's true.
Right. The script probably had, "Okay, let's get back to party."
I know. And ladies, please arrive into the party area, is what he originally had said in the script.
Please enter the room. One by one. Let's not
so
be crazy.
Weird. And I used to have a friend that would yell that out of context for years after this movie came out because he thought it was so funny.
Oh, he got it from this movie?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Your friend should stop. He's not still doing it, is he?
He eventually did.
All right.
I hope he still does it.
Good. He's back in our good graces then.
Three restraining orders later.
Yeah, always. Here's a trope I liked. So this is not a bad trope. I like Yorgi's brother. I already mentioned it, but I just wanted to bring it up again. Mm-hmm. I like that guy. You always need a second in command. You need a Darth Maul.
The lieutenant's
got
to be the one who does the things that the general won't do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's usually just kind of non-feeling, just horrible human being that was willing to do anything, and he's creepy, and that's great. And he always has a weakness, like, you know, he smokes, so that thing found him, apparently. Right. That thing that was basically a green box painted, attached to a tube, a big piece of PVC, and a Canon handycam built into the side of it. I don't know if you guys noticed the little flip-out screen and a little lens on the front. It was a damn handycam.
It was. They used the crap out of those things in this movie.
Good work on that.
Hey, did you guys wonder if that was just pop that was in that...
pop
in that like drink
when he's like giving the leading, you know, talking to his team about how they're going to get into the fortress, and he's in there with a can of monster rehab or
it was surge. It would have been surge during that time.
Would it have been surge?
Did they have a tie-in? Yeah, like, was there a tie-in with the movie?
Well, there had to be. I mean, come on, we were all about the energy drinks back in during the X Games kind of thing, but it wasn't monsters. It was surge and that kind of stuff.
I don't remember any of that stuff. I didn't follow the energy drink market in the early aughts, so I have no idea what any of that stuff was.
Yeah, during the 80s, it was late 80s, early 90s. It was Jolt Cola, and then it kind of. Mm-hmm.
I want to say Surge wasn't that a Coke Surge product? I remember the green can. Like, I remember the light bolt letters.
I'm trying to remember. Yeah.
Jolt was its own thing,
I thought.
Yeah, Jolt was its own brand. Yeah. I think it got purchased later on, but yeah, Jolt was its own thing.
Jolt Cola. Here you go. Wet Planet Beverages was the creator. It was created in 1985 by CJ Rapp.
CJ Rapp, yo!
And is currently, I'm just trying to see, they've got bankruptcy. They had that.
Right. Yeah.
And now they are not owned by anyone. So
yep, Surge was a Coke product, I'm finding it right
Surge
here.
Surge was, so okay.
Yes, it was 1996. Coca-Cola started production on Surge, a variation of the Norwegian soft drink named Urge.
Very different things across the sea.
while we're on the subject, I just want to say again, in case there's someone in the soda business listening, why can't I get Pib Zero at the grocery store?
Pib Zero?
Yes. Go to a Coca-Cola Freestyle machine, and you can drink Pib Zero all day long.
Yeah. Freestyle machines. I love those things.
I continue to believe that Pib is the redheaded stepchild of the Coke line. They just don't treat it right.
They made some deal with the devil with Dr. Pepper, with Snapple, that they just basically don't distribute my favorite drink that Coca-Cola makes. Get on this, Coke.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll bet it's coming because we just went to Target yesterday and I saw for the first time Cherry Coke Zero and we picked some up. So they're expanding the line into the Zero line. So
the Cherry Coke Zero has been in vending machines out here on the West Coast for years.
Oh, yeah, really?
You can get it at the grocery store and everything.
You guys are aficionados, apparently, of this whole
right?
thing.
Right, I was just thinking, we need
what
to start
What is the soft drink thing
Well,
that
I want to know
of.
What the difference. So I can't stand Diet Coke at all, and I like Coke Zero. Why is it that they keep making Diet Coke? I mean, is there just a group of consumers who just love the taste of it still?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Older demographic.
But the net effect is the same.
I like aspartame.
Yeah.
Right.
I like that stuff that's killing me slowly. Mm-hmm. But the other stuff, the whatever's in 10 or 0, sorry. I'm thinking of Dr. Pepper 10 or whatever
it's a split, isn't it? That's the reason why it still has calories. It's still sugar and
well, 0 doesn't.
No, yeah, Coke Zero.
No, 10.
10 does. You're right. 10 is a split.
10, they add a little sugar to a diet soft drink and it supposedly tastes better.
Right. But it's weird because I'll get a Coke Zero and Coke Zero Cherry Coke Zero sounds amazing. I'm into that.
Oh, that's good.
It is. It's really good.
But what's the why? I don't get why you keep on your diet. Well, why you have two different diet drinks that are exactly the same calories? I don't get it.
Sales.
Okay. Oh, because diet. Okay, so Diet Coke uses an artificial sweetener, right? Yeah, so you have Coke. You make Diet Coke with aspartame. You have no calories, right? At the time that Diet Coke was formulated, they didn't have the technology to make it taste the way they really wanted it to taste.
Right.
And that technology came along about 15 years ago.
And the other people, in the meantime, they've got multiple generations who have acclimated themselves to the Diet Coke taste, and anything else won't do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's really lame. I mean, I agree with you, that's why, but I think we suck as people if we like that taste.
My mom has a freezer full of Diet Coke.
So bad.
And that's all she'll ever have.
What?
It's freezer? So bad.
Sorry, refrigerator.
Refrigerator.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's not something you want to freeze.
Honey, take one out. We need to thaw one out before my program starts.
This thing's going to explode on me, but this is the way I like it.
That's great.
You know how this, like soft drinks, this movie didn't have anybody for you to like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was I the only one who really wanted Samuel L. Jackson's character to take one in the face?
The other side.
I didn't.
I think he was all right. He was just playing Nick Cage again. It's the same thing he gets to do occasionally. He's this guy who's in charge of some agency or some group, and he struts around, and there's usually something physically wrong with him. It's his eye in Nick Fury, and it's his face in this. It's the same damn character, and he did it in Jumper, too. Was it Jumper?
Oh, yeah.
Jumper. Jumper.
That was
he had white. Remember
Jumper. I was thinking Looper.
He had bleached white hair in Jumper and was kind of the Obi-Wan Kenobi to... Well, that other kid actually played Anakin Skywalker.
He was like the Mace Windu of...
Yeah, of Star Wars, right.
Right, right.
But he has this job where that is what he does, and I feel like we're not done with that. He's going to keep making movies where he's that.
Do you guys have a problem? Every time I see a Samuel L. Jackson movie, he cannot say the word plane. If he does, I'm going to stop and I'm going to giggle and I'm going to make fun.
Oh, really?
Snakes
on
a plane?
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, the word plane?
I can't stop it. Oh, that's what he said. He says, I'm going to get you on a plane. And I was like, there's no snakes on it.
You need to say a mother effing plane every time is what he needs to do. Yeah.
I just don't like him in anything where he's not Jules or not. I'm trying to think of another character I like, or the guy on Jurassic Park. I like grumpy, like pissy guy.
Oh, see,
you love his new commercials then, right?
No, I don't think I've seen him.
He's he's taken over the throne from Jimmy Fallon and Alec Baldwin.
Right. Yeah, right.
Commercials for what? What's it for? Hulu?
For the Capital One card.
Oh, okay.
And he stares you down. Staring contest. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Really?
Yeah, you guys want this card? Say what one more time?
All right, I do like that version of him. Yes, I don't like serious. I don't like serious, thoughtful, you know, guy in charge version of him. I don't like that.
Right.
I like a guy who quotes scripture and puts a gun to your head.
It's a little bit crazy. For me, having Samuel L. Jackson in your picture, even if it's a stinker like Snakes on a Plane, still elevates it up one star for me.
All right,
it does. I'll tell
which
you,
brought this movie to one star.
Nice.
Coincidentally, one of my favorite performances for him, though, is the Die Hard one, where he's having to
handcuffed to him the whole day or whatever. How'd that go? Yep. I don't remember how that went.
Bruce Willis was stuck in the middle of ghetto, and Samuel Jackson has to save him because he's wearing a racially insensitive billboard.
I don't remember that movie.
comes up to him and says something like, if you don't take that shirt off, you're about to have a really bad day.
Was that the one with Jeremy Irons as the brother of? Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yep. And the two of them have to run around New York solving puzzles. And
I don't think I like that one.
He's
much.
A radio repairman, I guess. Or like he works in a junk shop kind of fixing stuff. And
yeah.
Samuel Jackson makes that movie for me. I love that.
I don't remember. To me, it felt like Richard Pryor in Superman 3 a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think it was.
Really the Jeremy Irons aspect of it?
No. The Samuel Jackson getting tugged around with a pair of handcuffs the whole day.
Not even close.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. Something about it.
He makes that movie because for whatever reason, I don't know if it was because Bruce Willis was going through a real life divorce or problems at the time or the thing with Bonnie Bedelia was supposed to be playing out in the film. But he's just the most depressing, dour, subdued.
He'd called Kelso in his basement. It was not.
There was no yippee-yay going on in that film for Bruce Willis.
Wait, hold on a second. Ashton Kutcher was in his basement in that movie?
He was in his wife.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that wife. I thought you were talking this whole time about the movie wife. I didn't know you meant Demi Moore. Yeah. How did I know? I wouldn't know. I want to go back to something Randy said, which I think is important.
All right. Please do.
Why is there nobody in this movie that's likable? And I thought about that during the film, and I didn't like anybody. In fact, I think the only character I actually kind of liked was that cop who kept getting screwed.
I hated him.
I liked him.
Oh, no, he was great.
I liked him.
He's such a major trope, too, that killed you for your own good trope.
Yeah. Here's a major trope.
Slurp my butt.
There you go, major trope.
I love that trope. I love it any time in a movie that somebody's like, wait, what do you mean you're turning on me? What do you mean you're shooting at me? And then like they're like so mystified as to what's going on, but they got killed for their own good, and now they're going to be okay.
When he comes and knocks down the glass and just is like a big goof. Like there's something about him. I was like, oh, sweet, he's back. And then he died, and I was sad. But everybody else is just kind of, I don't like Vin Diesel in this. I don't like any of the girls. I don't like the main girl at all.
I do. I like Asia.
Well, she's cute, but she's she's annoying.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't think she was annoying.
Her character's annoying.
Her character.
Really?
I liked her character.
I don't know.
Indifferent.
She's cute. She's cute, and she's European looking, and those are fine in my book. But I just didn't like her character. Could have done without her.
Is she from? Eastern European, because she does have that. She does pull off Italy. The accent really well. Rome, Italy. Yeah. She reminded me a little bit of a Valerie Galino, a young Valerie Galino,
like from Four Rooms. Well, more from Rain Man.
No, more from Rain Man. Yeah.
Or although I said Rayman for some reason.
Her birth name was Asia Aria Maria Vittoria Rosa Argento.
Whoa! I'll have to it when you hear your family. Yeah. Jeez. That's crazy. All the breadsticks you want.
What are we, Fazoli's?
Anyway, I don't know. I wish I would have had a better time. And I don't know how I can do that or how to solve that problem. There's part of me wishes that I could have watched this and had more fun.
I think I definitely have more fun now than I did back then. I think it was almost a little bit too close to home back then because it was kind of like, they're really marketing towards me. So am I offended by some of the stuff that they assume about my generation? Whereas now I'm kind of like, yeah, it was just so 90s and it was just so, you know, or early 2000s, excuse me. So early 2000s.
But still, it had the taste of the 90s all over it.
It did.
You know, like they hadn't lost the touch of the 90s yet.
Right. I mean, this was definitely made before 9/11, right? It was already in the can and ready to go.
Oh, I assume after, right? 2002. So they.
Well, it was 2002 when it came out. But,
right. So it probably filmed it the year before.
I don't think it was influenced by this movie, though. It didn't feel like it was.
You just reminded me that the promise of the 90s is alive and well in Portland.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Just want to remind you of that.
Yeah. I can be there in 8 hours. Let's go. I don't know if we talk about this sometimes on the show, and it comes up, and we don't dig into it too deep. But do you disagree with or fully agree with this idea that all movies made after 9/11 are therefore impacted by it and therefore different than they would have been, or that it had that big of an influence where movies have changed?
I think this is a pre-9/11 movie, actually. Right. And yes, I agree with you.
You think
that
so?
There's,
I don't know if I agree to. With that yet. I don't know if I agree with it.
Making a film similar to this definitely has it in the back of their mind, and they'll stay away from things like, you know, the enemy of the film flying into a building, or you know, scenes on a plane of somebody having to fight, you know, to survive, kind of thing. I think that directors these days have to be aware of that, and they have to be careful of that. And I don't know how long, you know, what is the statute of limitations on that?
Well, that's my question: is do they have to be careful with it? I mean, what are they protecting? They're protecting their ability to be profitable when they put their movie in theaters more than they are somebody's feelings, I'm guessing, because people do all sorts of offensive things in movies.
Let's look at Vietnam, because I mean, really, for the longest time, filmmakers really didn't make an accurate portrayal of Vietnam because it was just such a sensitive subject. And later on during the 80s, we really saw a slew of movies, and it suddenly became a hot topic.
Yeah.
And you could
argue the obsession with World War II content, both in film, video games, books, TV, and other things, that really was heavy, heavy duty about the same time, early 2000s, kind of up to 2005. That was like, okay, now we're far enough from World War II now, we can talk about the Battle of the Bulge and really get into the nitty gritty about what this thing was about.
See, I feel like you're combining things. Like, I don't agree about Vietnam. Apocalypse Now was made just about as quickly after the war ended as you could make that movie.
Yeah, but that movie was weird. It wasn't
made to be an accurate depiction of. What was going on there?
Yeah, not that you can't do that. Not that they can't do some artistic things to bring out the right emotions, or to say, all right, well, you know, we're gonna create something almost kind of supernatural to make you feel these feelings of why war is terrible and what war does to people. And so yes, they do a lot of that. But I think a lot of times you know, Coppola kind of made a movie that was so strange and out there,
which he does often.
I doubt there are that many vets from Vietnam going, oh yeah, man, that's how it was. Yeah. We had a big fat ex freaking mobster actor out there too, who's keeping everybody hostage and trying to kill us. Like, I feel like there was a chance that he had a chance to do something very different because of the timing. But you jump far enough ahead, and you can make Platoon, or you can make.
And I'm saying that what you know, the subject usually is, how much time do you have to let pass before you can make fun of something, not before you can take it seriously. Mm-hmm. You take things seriously. Or, you know, in the immediate aftermath, and as time passes by, then someday you have a comedy about people trying to fly planes into buildings.
Probably. And see, this movie was enough. Even though it's an action movie, it's still riddled with comedy. I mean, that's the whole idea, is comedy action. Yeah. And so you really wouldn't want to put that in this kind of movie. Now, if you were doing something that was super scary, you might would do that in like hostage situation or something. Yeah, you could do that then. But no, for over the top popcorn eating fun action movie, you don't want to do that.
I just wonder if we're there yet. Like you do hear jokes, you do hear stuff about 9/11 now more than you used to. And certainly things like, you know, nobody ever thinks about what am I trying to say? What's it called? The Hawaii attack. What's wrong with my brain?
Pearl Harbor.
Nobody thinks about Pearl. Sorry, I promised myself I wouldn't think of that movie ever again.
I was trying to think. When did something happen in Hawaii?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's been so long.
Yeah. But it's so been long enough that people don't look at it the same. Back then, it was a big freaking deal, and there's an entire generation of people who are now leaving us, leaving this mortal coil, that remember that as hardcore as anything they've ever experienced. And you know, we'll probably be that group that are shocked in 20, 30 years when young people are making all kinds of really blatant jokes about 9/11 that will seem distasteful to us. And then when we're gone, it'll be whatever their thing is, and that's how it'll go. But I just think it's interesting how Hollywood is either for real or is perceived to just change everything they do because of an event like that. And I'm not saying they do one way or the other. I think it's a curious conversation.
And I think this film is an example of straddling it, where any movie of this sort of size, it was being made before 9/11. Yeah. The script was being written, the actors were being cast and so forth before 9/11, and then the movie was being made around 9/11, before and after, right?
Sure.
And so I felt like I was noticing things like the huge American flag. The stripper scene was just in service of one joke. Oh, the things I'm going to do for my country, right?
Yeah, right.
Like that sort of thing I noticed, and I felt like it's kind of a little tacked on. This movie originally aimed to be more subversive. Yeah. And then I think 9/11 added some things to it.
It's interesting, just because, you know, you say to yourself, would XXX have been made had it all started after 9/11? Probably.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. And it might have been a little different.
I mean, it's all this who knows?
It's really hindsight 2020
thing, but yeah.
Right. It's really hard to, I mean, you got to pick your bad guy. So where's your bad guy from? Okay, we chose Russia on this one. So it's kind of like most of them are Russian, German. That was really kind of confusing to me anyway, because it was this whole mix of who exactly was the bad guy? I mean, I know the main bad guy was Russia.
Europe.
So it was Eastern Europe kind of thing, but I couldn't quite ever pinpoint.
These were soldiers in the Chechen War, right?
Exactly. Right.
Who were forgotten when it was all over. That was their complaint.
They said that during the story, yeah.
And there's a huge trope here, which is that whole thing about your complaint leads you to do ridiculously unbalanced things, right?
Right.
Like the complaint of the bad guy in the first Star Trek, you know, like his wife and family were killed because Spock didn't do his job. So he's going to blow up Vulcan and he's going to take down the entire Federation. Like here it's, you forgot about us after the Chechen War. We were all miserable. So I'm going to blow up 10 major cities. Yeah. I'm going to throw the world into complete chaos.
Yeah.
I'm going to like,
it's out of balance for sure.
That trope drives me crazy.
So you just invoked a piece of trivia we forgot to mention, which is Eric Bana, who played the bad guy in this 2009 Star Trek, was XXX for about a week before he had to get out of the contract.
Interesting.
Yeah. He was almost the dude.
That would have been weird.
That would have been a little weird. See, that would have been a totally different movie. I'm not even saying it would have been worse. It might have been better.
I can't picture him doing like snowboarding stunts and pulling it off and believing that he's this extreme sports guy, you know?
Yeah. It would have been much more Bond. I mean, I could see him doing an American Bond.
Well, maybe that's what they were going to do, is just a little slightly edgier sort of Bond treatment and getting Vin Diesel was like, well, now we can go crazy. Tony Hawk's not doing anything. Call him up. Let's get him over to the house. Yeah, who knows?
To the house.
Tony Hawk, man. All right, let's do some clips. We got a bunch.
All right.
And they begin with this one where Samuel L. Jackson gets to talk first.
Some of our analysts think it may be a link to a missing biochemical weapon the Soviets were developing called Silent Night.
James, what the hell is he doing here?
His arm's going to get cut off if he goes over to that Raptor station and tries to turn the power back on. Let's see. How about this one?
These monkeys are following me because I just took this car. Obviously, the car doesn't belong to me. It's not my style. It belongs to Dick.
Dick.
And he's like Jack Thompson kind of nod there, right?
Yeah, totally. That was with the Jack Thompson heyday, man.
Yeah, it wasn't just a nod. This is a slam on Jack Thompson, straight up.
Yeah, you don't hear from him much anymore, do you?
No.
Kind of been real quiet on that front. I loved my own personal run-in with him over a Photoshop contest where he threatened to sue me.
Yes.
Threatened to sue me. Oh, man.
Sue me.
How about this one? I just captured this out.
It belongs to Dick.
I'm going
to
use that from now on for things. Still working on that.
Yo, yo. Sick. What is up with that crazy trick that we've been hearing about? You pull that?
Like Superman's seat grab barrel roll?
Word.
I'm still working on it.
Word.
That's where you needed an Aaron Paul, right?
Yep.
Right? Yeah. Exactly.
I would have bought him.
Yo, bitch, that stunt was dope.
I'm dying now to know who that guy is. Somebody Michaels. Somebody. He's
Shawn
the biker.
Michaels.
No, is it Shawn Michaels? No. Shawn Michaels is a
wrestler.
Hold on. I'm going to find this. Famous BMX rider. And his name will be. It's got to come right up. it's going to piss me off. All right. Well, forget it. I can't, it's not quick enough for me to find it, but I know this guy's in here. He's a US dude.
I love how you're so interested in this thing. Like, I don't even really see it in the movie. Like, I think I marginally recognize Tony Hawk as a cab driver.
Couple of those guys have been on Jackass episodes, and they were part of like the Nitro Circus stuff, and so they.
But Jackass does me the favor of putting their name on the bottom of the screen, so I can properly enjoy that I've been introduced to a cameo.
Video games. All right, I'm going to find that eventually, but not now. Now is not that time. Okay. What are we doing? Oh yeah, we're doing this thing.
Oh yeah.
We're doing a show, and I got some clips to keep playing. Here we go. Here's one. This is a good XXX scream, so here you go. Well, it wasn't him. It was somebody else, but still.
Yeah. That wasn't Vin.
Yeah. No. Who are you?
Who the hell are you?
The name's Gibbons. Augustus Gibbons. You seem upset. Is that a problem?
What is this place?
And why do you sound like a Harry Potter character? Augustus Gibbons.
You're right.
He does, actually. You're right.
Here is a ironic moment where Triple X accuses somebody else of giving a bad performance and gives a bad performance, telling us that someone else gave a bad performance. So a little bit of a metagame here. Here you go.
And no offense, but their performances were terrible.
Like that one. That was terrible.
And this really twisted my brain, because I think Vin Diesel is a pretty good actor when it comes to...
Can be.
When it comes to just delivering, and I couldn't help wondering if he didn't like the role, or he wasn't being very well directed, and he was uncomfortable with it. Because I mean, over and over, he just doesn't do a good job. And he's a fine actor, right? Yeah. If you haven't seen the movie A Man Apart, watch the movie A Man Apart.
Is that the one that's got The Rock in it, or no?
No, it's Vin Diesel and Lorenz Tate, and they both put on stellar performances. Trust me.
Okay. I'm down with that. Dave Mira, Freestyle BMX. That's the game.
Dave Mira.
Thank you.
Was in this movie.
Yes. Dave Mira was in this movie.
He's a pretty famous biker.
He's dope and word.
Dope. I'd much would have preferred Joe BMX.
Yeah, Joe BMX is pretty good. I would play that game. That is a game I'd play.
Right.
All right. We all ask this question when we're on an airplane.
Where's my peanuts?
There you go. Where's my peanuts?
It's not what he sounded like, you said.
By the way, Brian.
Sitting on my balls. Where's my
where's my penis? Is what you're asking.
Yeah,
yeah. Vin Diesel has a hard time finding it. It's all those roids.
What were you say, Randy?
I was just gonna say, what is it? Joe Biker?
Joe Biker. Oh, I said Joe BMX.
Joe BMX.
Joe BMX. Joe BMX. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Let's make it a game. But,
yeah.
Let's kickstart that.
It needs to kind of be in like the frame of like Balls of Fury, the movie, you know?
I'm down with that.
It needs to be like that.
Wait, well, Balls of Fury, was that?
The ping pong movie.
Right. Okay.
How about Hot Rod? Same sort of thing.
Basketball. Dodgeball. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Any of those. Mm-hmm. I like Hot Rod because he tells that girl, he says she was shitty and then left. I love that scene.
In fact, I think Joe BMX needs to look like Andy Samberg is what I'm saying. That's perfect. Don't you?
Joe Dirt is what he should look like. All right, here we go. This is him living for something.
I live for this shit!
When he gets deep down in that guttural voice, man, it's pretty awesome.
It's what I loved about Iron Giant was Vin Diesel's big bassy.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Listen, he apparently, according to his trivia, he was considered for Ultron before they decided on James Spader.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like having Vin Diesel as the not-so, or the iron not-so-giant Ultron.
I kind of remember us, I think we talked about it on TMS, and there was some very specific reason they dumped him. It was something to do with something. I don't remember now. But yeah, I think the Spader choice is a good one. It's a robot, so have who you want.
Right.
Right.
Exactly. Cocaine Man.
Holy shit. This is Colombia. Cocaine Man.
It's Cocaine Man.
Right. We've just Columbia. Been thrown out of a moving plane. We need to pick this stuff up and put it in our pockets. Right. That's what
matters.
What
are you going to do with cocaine? Coca leaves, right? What are you going to do with those?
I don't know. He grabbed a wad of them off a tree and ran.
That was so weird to me. Like, if you just gotten thrown out of a plane, you would be like, no, stop. Yeah. I am not. I'm just. You would just sit down. Like, I protest even being alive at this point. No. These guys are like, dude, let's smoke some shit.
Yeah. He was pretty excited about it. All right. Here's Danny Trejo for a brief moment.
Cut off their Achilles tendon. And watch them flop around like a marionette. Unless you have something to tell me. Something I need to know, huh?
Oh, that's my head on a turtle over there, yo.
What a Breaking Bad moment.
Why was he so used so sparingly in this? I mean, why couldn't he have been the bad guy? Or
he wasn't anybody back in 2002, though.
Oh, come on now.
He was
a bit actor.
I think he was at the height of his stuff in 2002.
He had been in a Michael Mann movie. He'd been in a Quentin Tarantino movie. Why not?
Yeah, I would have taken him no matter how you'd given him to me. It would have been fine. and then he says this.
Flop around like a marionette.
I'm going to hang on to that one. name of the movie time. I love it in movies and they say the name of the movie out loud.
Yes.
Here it is.
Maybe you ought to call yourself Triple X.
Yeah. I'm Augustus Gloop, and I fell into the river of chocolate. Whee!
And it was me sitting there watching this saying, I thought he already did.
Yeah.
I thought he had a tattoo on the back of his neck.
Right. I thought that was already there. Yeah.
Not a very good fake tattoo. Although I at first I thought maybe this is someone else's neck. They have a neck double. Is that even a thing? But then like the longer I looked at it, that I was like, I don't know. I might have actually just gotten the tattoo.
Oh. There, it went. That explains it.
The clicking.
Randy fell off. I knew that clicking was coming from somewhere. All right, hold on. We're going to pause. Yeah. I have no idea what we were talking about before that. Do you guys remember?
I was talking about that fake tattoo on the back of either Vin Diesel's neck or whoever they shot from behind to look like Vin Diesel with that triple X tattoo. And I was just going to say, if I ever get any gig even remotely as big to my career as Vin Diesel got with Triple X, I'm just getting the tattoo, the whole actual tattoo.
Be him for the rest of your life. Why not?
Yeah.
Embrace the character. Mm-hmm. It's method acting. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about how the lady friend, the Asia girl in this thing, that tattoo she's got on her front is real. That's the real business. Because all the photos of her on the internet are all got that tattoo.
I'd just like to tell that to any potential future employer also. If you, if you'd really like to be able to tell this story about how you hired Randy and he got a tattoo of your logo, just make me an offer that, you know, is that good.
That's a pretty good deal. All right, here we go. Here's the hot new video game.
What game are you playing?
Anarchy 99.
Have you heard of it?
It's a first-person shooter that's nothing but a bunch of photos.
When you think about the reason they had to do that, to explain all the stuff that he has to do during this mission, but to have him basically offer up all this confidential information that apparently you have to be level 5 to know about to this kid.
Yeah, that was great. But I just like how they describe video games, and the kid's not smart enough to pick up on the fact that this is not a 2002 era video game.
Right. Look at those graphics.
That's amazing graphic. What kind of weapons do you have?
Maybe the guy will get to be the hero at the end.
I'm going to go up front now and eat my weird in-flight lasagna.
Here's a question I had for you guys. What did he say?
Hey, you silly boy. Come with me and show me the cup. And don't be mistaken.
Don't be mistaken. It's like they hired Borat to be.
Don't be mistaken.
High five. High five. My wife.
I would love to have a sound mashup of Borat and several characters from this movie. Right.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. But I love the whole. What was the mistake part? Hold on, I want to hear it again.
Hey, you silly boy. Stop. And don't be mistaken.
Don't be mistaken.
Don't be mistaken.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah. I think he was real. They just had him talk. Something about everything.
Snowboard, motorbike, everything.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Snowboard, motorbike. Yes. Bitches.
Explaining anarchy, yeah.
He also really likes Vin Diesel.
You're awesome.
A little bit of Schwarzenegger there, wasn't it? You're awesome.
It's pretty good. And then Vin Diesel. I don't know what this is. Oh, that's him punching a dude. That's what that is. I just like this how it sounded. I don't know what this guy's saying either.
Hard not to shoot, you piece of shit!
Okay, now I know what the last part is, but help me with the top part.
Hard not to shoot, you piece of shit!
What did he say?
Why not shoot, piece of mini?
Shit? Was that it?
Hard not to shoot, you piece of shit!
He's in the boat.
I guess.
Yeah.
That's right when Diesel's about to sniper him.
Yeah, and he ended up getting what he asked for.
But the only good shot in the film. The only good.
Yeah. Right.
That was great, though, because when that guy gets down on the ground, looks up, sees he's hitting toward a cliff, puts one hand on the wheel, and boom, explodes. That was pretty good.
Right.
All right. Terrible yell from Lady, and then that's it for clips. So here you go. Whoops.
He's alive! He's alive! Come here!
Oh, my gosh.
He's alive!
My tattoo is real.
He's alive. He's alive. Come here.
If you didn't have a rule that clips always are sounds that people make, voices or screams, you could have done quite a bit of clips of just explosions in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it got me thinking about like, okay, so they really went whole hog with the whole explodium trope, right? If you shoot at something, it explodes and it's made of gasoline.
Yeah.
But where does it fall in the film sack pantheon for explodium? Because we've seen like Battlefield Earth and we've seen Last Action Hero, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where that'd be an interesting question. What movie have we seen that gave us the biggest explosion thrill, like that really nailed an explosion? I don't know. I can't. Nothing's
Battlefield
memorable.
Earth is way up
seen
there.
A lot of explosions.
Is it? Battlefield Earth just made me want to forget it all, though.
Death Star in Star Wars.
Do we watch Star Wars?
Oh, did we watch? You're talking about one we watched.
Yeah, one we've seen. Yeah.
Yeah, and we've seen some really explodey movies, and this one, man. That scene where Ben Diesel is on the motorcycle jumping over the barn filled with hydrogen.
That was pretty good.
That was impressive.
Yeah. That barn was to the rafters with something explosive.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
That was actually a stuntman with a crayon drawing of Vin Diesel drawn on his helmet.
Yeah, that didn't look like Vin Diesel at all. May as well have been Arnold and Randy. T2.
I thought Randy called him Ben Diesel.
Ben Diesel?
Ben Diesel.
Wouldn't he be a totally different dude if his name was Ben?
Oh,
Ben
too Diesel. Soon. Too soon.
Mahmoud Ben Diesel. I don't know. I think I kind of like the big Wilford Brimley's shack exploding in Hard Target.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. Yeah,
there's some really good explosions in that movie.
Unnecessary explosion, yeah.
Yeah, or the one where Bishop drops a grenade in his pants.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
You know where there was a ton of explodium.
Lethal Weapon too.
Yeah, that was
the
all
house
right.
on stilts.
There was a bunch of explodium in Armageddon. Remember when the space station exploded?
Yeah, but we still haven't seen that for.
I was gonna say, but you're thinking of the other one. Right?
You're thinking of no. It's funny because this keeps coming up where we think it we've does. Seen that movie, but we still haven't seen it. We've only seen
Deep seen
Impact.
It.
Yeah, well, of course we've all seen it, but we haven't seen it for the show. I wish it was on streaming. My gosh, we do Armageddon. We'll pump that in front of whatever's in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
Except maybe Chud. We got to do Chud. All right, just for fun last week.
Penile implant.
All right, moving on. Let's do
penile implant.
Let's do what's next, which I don't even, geez, I don't even remember. The film sack checklist. I have a thing for it. Let's see. The checklist goes like this. Kid that can't tell the difference between photos and a first-person shooter. Check. No Game Shark, no Prima strategy guide, check. And everyone in Eastern Europe is named Ivan Stereotype, right? Check.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to the Star Trek connections. There are a couple of them. Sanja Milkovic Hayes was a costume designer for this movie and also for Star Trek Insurrection. Brian Wade was co-designer and sculptor for Samuel L. Jackson's fake face.
Hey.
He was the makeup designer for Star Trek V. The Voyage Home, and Star Trek V, The Final Frontier. So there you go. Not really. Oh,
and Mace Windu.
And Mace Windu, of course. Don't forget. Well, no, that'd be Star Wars.
Oh, you almost went with it.
Yeah, though. I almost went with it.
How many times have we said Mace Windu this episode? I'm interested.
Too many times. Too many.
Yeah.
Let's see. I give it a soundtrack grade
one more time, and you guys will have to pay me royalties.
Yeah, it's going to cost you. I guess you pay Disney now. You pay Disney, don't pay me. W for whatever is the grade I would give the soundtrack. It wasn't anything big, and especially like the score stuff. It was just
I didn't like it.
Bah, bah. And by the end, it was I'm like, you guys are ripping that off. You
I
bastards.
Had fun with it.
It was all right.
I gave it fun.
I liked two songs in the movie, and they weren't scored the original music.
There you have it. Let's do the Twitter post. 140 characters or less. You guys sum the film up in the only way you know how. We'll start with Randy. Go.
XXX. Vin Diesel is like a Rammstein song. Loud, exciting, jumpy, surrounded by fire and explosions, and utterly impossible to understand.
Nice. Gosh, Mace, I would say to that. Brian Dunaway.
XXX. James Bond goes all X Games in this spy thriller from the early 2000s, and not once did it deviate from set parameters, except that one part throughout the whole movie.
Very nice. And then finally, Brian Ibbett.
Lowercase x, capital X, lowercase x. Any pluses this film would have gotten for the stunts or Samuel L. Jackson are negated by having to watch a Vin Diesel. Oh, man, let me start this over. I can't flood the last line. Lowercase x, triple x. Any pluses this film would have gotten for the stunts or Samuel L. Jackson are negated by having to watch Vin Diesel awkwardly kiss Asia Argento.
There you go.
Yes, he did it.
Kissed her on the Asia Argento.
Swallow her face.
Yeah. She's too small for him.
Like so.
We got a all just handed to me, everybody. Alternate title suggestions are either I Wish We All Had GoPros in 2002. That's title number one. Or, quote, Where Did Nick Fury Get All That Hair, unquote. I think we go with the GoPros. I got a couple emails here. Got one from Rory in Ireland who says, Hello, film sack crew. So, wait, are you trying to tell me that 125 is not infinite? He's referring to last week's The One.
Yes, I suppose
there could only be a few similar universes where you have the same parents. Trying to imbue sense onto a nonsensical movie. And wouldn't there be old people suddenly getting superpowered as their doppelgangers, doppelgangers expire in the other universes. People won't always die at the same time. What happens if good Jet Li gets hit by a bus? I have to sync up the plot holes to travel between universes. Rory,
if there's a reason why this movie is universally considered awful.
Yeah.
Like no one likes this movie. It was badly, badly rated at the time. Years later on video, now no one likes this movie.
I am a nobody's a bitch. Okay. Right. Derek in Cleveland. Derek in Cleveland says, hey, guys, you often point out angry acting in current movie you're watching. I am curious if each of you have a personal favorite example of good or bad angry acting. Thanks, Derek in Cleveland. My example of good angry acting would be a classic, which is A Few Good Men and Jack Nicholson.
I was going to say, A Few Good Men. Yeah. It's
yeah. Great. Yeah, I don't think anybody does angry acting Jack like Nicholson he does. Yeah, but I would also say awesome. I think some bad angry acting in that movie is I don't think what's his name?
Tom Cruise
is any good in that angry scene.
I think I'm entitled.
Yeah, I think he's annoying there, but Jack Nicholson just nails it, eats it up, and makes me afraid of him.
I think it's Tom Cruise does that same kind of angry acting thing in almost every movie he does, where he is the best at something and everyone just is too blind to see it, and he has to be angry about the fact that everyone's too blind to see it.
That's in real life too. That's how he is.
I am the best at jumping on couches.
Come on, Oprah, look at me. So, I'm 50. I can jump on the.
I have an example. Most outrageous example of angry acting ruffles feathers. People don't like to hear this. Bryan Cranston just spent 6.5 years just gritting his teeth and going, Jesse, you don't understand what the at some point I'm just like, this isn't high drama.
I think he's cheating. I think he's really good at that. I would take issue with you. I don't cheating.
The reason why I don't go Rhoda. I agree with you, but I think that was the point. He was a manipulator, and he used his manipulation over him by acting angry, even though not necessarily angry, but he used it to manipulate. So I think it was okay.
I think he did it with Skylar a lot too.
Yeah, I'm doing it for this family. Mm-hmm. Right.
I got really tired of it. I just like that whole series. You just feel like, oh, this is unnecessary. Like, when do I get to see him just be him? You know,
too soon for me to hear anything bad about Breaking Bad.
Those emails, let's keep those coming. Those emails, and we'll put Randy up on the post.
Last week, I admitted to Eileen Rivera that I don't particularly love Breaking Bad, and she was just like, that's not possible.
Yeah.
This is not possible.
It's fine. It's not everybody's cup of tea. I can get that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but most often seen in a movie, angry acting is Sean Penn. Every movie. He's always just super angry. And I've never understood why critics have given him such kudos for being the greatest actor of our generation.
Have you seen Milk?
No Milk.
No, I didn't see it. No.
Watch I want Milk. To. I'd like to see
he
it.
Plays...
I'm not going to see Milk. No, you can't make me.
No, seriously. Watch that movie for a great example of why he's considered such a good actor. Seriously.
Brian's mom couldn't make him drink milk, and Randy can't make him watch milk.
And by the way, for Film Sack, we watched The Game, which is an example of his range, where he played a totally aloof, chill, not at all angry person.
Oh, the brother. Or the, not brother, the, was he a brother?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, yes. The rich brother.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah,
he was great in that.
Michael Douglas's brother.
I'm a big fan. I like everything he does, even when he's
I agree with Brian Dunaway that in a lot of his roles, that's all Sean Penn does is scream and
stomper. How about Ian McKellen when he sings when he gets mad? Like when he goes, Bilbo.
It's like I was waiting for the song.
You will not, you will not, or you can, shall not pass. I love guys that can act with vibratos. It's fantastic. Yeah. All right. Well, that's a good email.
Did any of you guys see Patrick Stewart on Daily Show last week?
No, I heard it was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go watch it. It's on dailyshow.com. You find it real easy.
He can also do some good angry acting. Patrick Stewart can.
He's just so good at ad lib.
Yeah.
Just one of those people that you want to see them just talk all day.
Is his hot 31-year-old wife in the back there in the green room probably waiting for him to come back?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, they do talk about the lobster suit, though.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Of course they did. Well, there you go. Next week, guess what's up? Terminator 2, everyone.
What?
Terminator 2. That's
what Judgment Day?
They don't call it Black Friday for nothing, all right? Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
All right.
I like that movie.
Coming next week. I know. It'll be like
Cyber Monday-ish for releasing that one, and you can cyber with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes, you can. Nicely done. Nice to connect that. So anyway, Terminator 2, next week. Be here for that. In the meantime, I'd like to recommend you all go check out filmsack.com. Why? Because it's great, and there's stuff linked there, and there's things you can do. So go there. All our archives, all of it, filmsack.com. You can email us at filmsack@gmail.com. On Twitter, we can be found at filmsack. Leave us a review on iTunes because we love those. Have a fantastic Thanksgiving, everyone in the States. We'll see you next week for Terminator 2. And until then, from me, from Brian, and from Randy, we'll see you next time.
Bitches, come! Yo.
Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.